Welcome to the Heart of Healthcare podcast. In series 3, we'll be talking about healthcare from a global perspective, offering deep discussions about what it will take for a system shift that will benefit patients and healthcare professionals when medicine is practiced from the heart. We'll be hearing from Stephanie Mo Davis, Drs. Ruby Shah, Dan Dinnenberg, and Diane Bonhoeffer as they share insights and wisdom from their personal experiences. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hello. Hi, Ruby. Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Dan.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, hey.
Hi.
This is the 6th episode in this series. And last time we were really resonating. We're really in phase when we were talking about resonance. And we're on a journey to sovereignty. Personal sovereignty. That's going to be our next conversation. And so today we talk about self-awareness, and we feel that that really is the transition from having an understanding of where am I coming from, what is suffering, how can I give myself the permission for a compassionate look at myself and the other. How does this tie into my calling, my meaning and purpose? And what is this phenomenon of resonance? So being in tune with myself, around me, the people around me, nature, environment, the systems around me that I may be able to change or not be able to change. So what is this resonance thing and being in phase? And so now we want to really take one more step deeper. Say, well, if this is kind of on the journey towards sovereignty, who is this self? What is this self that can be aware of itself, that is in resonance with what we are, who we are, as we've established last time? And how does a deep understanding of this self and awareness of this sort of self lead to a personal sovereignty in the system, in the environment that we're in? So today, let's unpack self-awareness and see what is our understanding of self-awareness, as there are many out there. So I think I'll just open the room, Stephanie. I think it would be good if you could open today.
Okay, thank you. Good to be here with everybody again. As I mentioned earlier, this topic of self-awareness feels important and something that we should consider with an open mind and approach it with a sense of humility and deliberateness. I think that often we can get caught in a trap where we're believing that we're self-aware to the degree that's accessible for us, when in all actuality, there's so much more to us understanding ourselves and these different depths and layers of ourselves. One thing about self-awareness in terms of healthcare and the medical field is that I think a potential goal could be seen as if we become greater in our ability to be self-aware and communicate it authentically and vulnerably on both sides, we might be able to save time and we might be able to come up with even better potential treatment protocol, whether it be physically, emotionally, or spiritually, if we both had a deeper understanding of ourselves and the ability to truly be vulnerable to our process. So I think I would like to start by sharing that this is a possibility. I have connections with people where the level of personal agency is something that they've committed to within the self, and so have I. So the what can be accomplished in that time space seems to be so much more profound and clear than if the individuals maybe have not at least admitted, I'm a human and I can always do better, depending on where I'm at this moment. So I think the humility to share between the person and with the other is we both realize who we are in this moment, and we have our degrees or our jobs or our roles or our labels, but there's this commitment to being a greater person and evolving and educating myself every day as I go. And I think to me that needs to be the first ingredient in the recipe to self-awareness, to becoming self-aware, is to first and foremost take a true good look in the mirror, no matter where an individual is at, and just assess with compassion that no matter where you are, you can always do better, and that you're going to commit daily to that process of becoming. I think just that openness for me is the first step that we need to take to truly becoming and working on this process of becoming more self-aware. One thing Ruby and I spoke about earlier today was this proclivity that often we have to claim a feeling state before it's embodied and integrated. And I think that's where a lot of the confusion and the upheaval in the world starts to arise, is when the personal self wants to be somewhere that they're not, and they're afraid to admit where they are and be vulnerable about that place, to then open the next space of this process of becoming self-aware.
Wow, there's a lot already that you're putting forward. So there is, I hear a couple of things. One is you're saying there's a sense of I am aware, and that I that is aware is likely to be a role or a part of ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it's the part of ourselves that has the spotlight right now. Right? Is this the part of ourselves that is stepping forward, that is active, is the active part of ourselves. While there's this whole array of other parts of ourselves that are present at the same time, and yet they're not active right now. And so one question, if I hear you correctly, is could it be that this sense of self, a self-awareness, is there a self that is aware of the entire team of parts of the full me, rather than the small me, which is the one that is kind of active right now and takes a role and has wishes and needs and desires and, you know, all of that. So that's one part that's really interesting. So this, the self that we're interested in is more than I'm aware that I'm a doctor treating a patient right now, or I'm aware that I'm a patient with a problem X right now, or something like that. So the other part I hear that I'd love to understand better is you're talking about personal agency. So what is your understanding of agency as it relates to self, or awareness of the self, of this sort of higher self, let's call it? And I think then there's a second point, which we may want to, I would suggest, let's come back to that a little later. That is the point about intention, the point about becoming. So right now, the first step of that is a curiosity or a humbleness. I think you called it a humility. Of saying, well, if I am saying I am self-aware right now, it's quite likely that this is either a limited view, because we know this is constantly expanding, and all the sages are guiding that way, that this is never ending. So this self that we're talking about is never complete. There's never a full vision of that self. But an increasing expansion. So it's good to come in there as a student and keep an open mind and kind of stay humble in terms of what is developing there. So we know that wherever we are right now, we have some glimpse of that self, that higher self, and we wish to expand that appreciation, right? Is that, do I get that? Yeah, okay, great. I see you nodding. Okay, so let's, I'd love to come back to this personal agency. Could you just expand on this a little more before we open up? And I know Ruby and Dan want to chime in, so.
Yeah, personal agency or sovereignty means self-governing. And only when you have a degree, I mean, we're all self-governing to some degree, depending on our age. We have to be at some point. But again, the clarity at which we're governing ourselves, our selves states, depends on the level of conscious awareness that's been understood or accepted or looked at through a mirror of the self. So what you were just saying about who is the self, we have these states. And again, this can borderline on maybe some other taboo subjects that might be pathologized as some other condition. But if we really all were to say, I have various forms of myself that show up in different places, I think what makes that acceptable is the level of conscious integration and awareness that you're showing up with that self state, and always trying to become more aware of where these pieces of you have come from, how you can work to integrate them more closely together, and just commit to that understanding of, I only can truly see myself when I'm willing to look at myself. Mm. So the more we're willing to take personal accountability and responsibility of our actions and our reactions, can we start to develop self-awareness? So self-awareness is something that only can be gained through the self. So again, it's this intrinsic education rather than I want to become self-aware by external means. That can help, but it's a different level of integration, I believe, that can occur when you're doing it through the self as opposed to doing it externally, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Very much. Yeah, thank you. Dan, looks like you wanted to go.
Yeah, well, it's just a very interesting place that we're talking about, because as I think about the growth in my own self-awareness, I would have to say that it comes from my connection with others, my connection to patients, my connection with friends. When I'm showing up fully, then I'm completely out of the way and I'm in a very intuitive state and I'm very connected to what's happening. But then whatever comes through becomes part of the growth, becomes, oh, interesting how I showed up in this way. And it's almost this understanding, kind of a depth of understanding with each client that I ever come across. And it kind of opens myself up into that. And so what we're talking about there is, I think what we touched on something, which is growth. And growth is very connected to this idea of awareness, especially self-awareness, and just taking our lens out a little bit. You know, before we talk about self-awareness, you think about awareness in general, and I love this topic. I love awareness because I see myself as this bridge, Eastern and Western medicine, a very scientific approach and a very holistic approach. I that's where I live. I live at that land of connection. And so awareness is the tool. Awareness is that piece that I share with others as we journey together. And so it's just my own bringing up an awareness towards whatever we're working on, whether it be sound and senses, or, you know, or looking at deeper on, you know, their relationship with their other, or whatever that is, we're bringing through more of a navigation, coaching, guide aspect, is bringing awareness towards that to really understand what that is. And so when we bring our awareness, say, to our breath, that is our bridge into that internal world. And so just the beginning of that, there is some beginning understanding of agency, to bring it back to what it is, because I think there is a sense of like, oh, I just was reactionary through life. And now we're bringing our attention to meditation, to my internal breath work, to how I show up in the world, to my physicality, all of these different things. And so that's the first step there. And then once you realize that you do have some control over your awareness, where you're spending time, how you're bringing your energy, now you have more agency or sovereignty in what to do with that. And I think that's where we're talking about our own now self-awareness. So it's like, okay, how do we grow? And how do we, as you said, what is the permission? How can we be aware of ourselves? Now, one thing that kind of blew me away in our last conversation in resonance was this idea that, you know, we already are resonating in this love, in this field of something that's even greater than ourselves. So I think in the same way that self-awareness, we're always on this growth towards self-awareness, but most of us are not in a place where we're like, aha, now I'm self-aware, or you're actually playing that out in a very egoic way, be like, oh, check out my Instagram feed, look, I'm a self-aware guy, or I'm whatever, you know, that's sort of starts to play out with people. But the true self-awareness, like I said, is when you're understanding more and you're feeling that more and you're getting out of the way more, but now you're getting a depth of understanding of what your own desires, what your own meaning, what is really important to you, how you want to show up, what your intention, all of these things that now we're ready to unpack, which becomes, I think this is the bridge towards sovereignty. So it's a perfect place to do it. So I'll just stop there, because I think what I'm doing is just kind of bringing out that to kind of stir up the sauce to kind of hear from Ruby, just to kind of see if we can kind of continue the conversation this way.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to jump in. Jan, I'm not even asking for permission. Giving myself permission.
Go.
Yeah, I want to share a story, actually, of my experience of this process, journey, and growth of greater self-awareness, which is where I'm still at. I'm still on that thing. And I want to share with you guys that for me, and perhaps I share this because there may be people who listen to this who would maybe resonate or have a similar experience. But for me, when we talked about the different types of selves, right? The self that my doctor self, my self that I put into the hospital, the work, my students, my residents, that self was what I thought and then painfully started to recognize was, and I'll explain that, was these are the words I attached to it, all the best parts of me. So I put all the best parts of me into the clinic, into the hospital, in front of my students and patients. And that for me was the trap, because then I felt like, wow, I'm great and very self-aware. And in fact, I'm this is the best I'm bringing here. I'm self-reflecting every day. I work really hard. I look at what I've done wrong and I try to correct that, my course correct. I'm incredibly aware. I'm watching myself so carefully, right? I'm observing and taking note and going back and self-reflecting. So what then pushed me towards a greater sense of self-awareness was when I started to realize that, okay, if you put all the best parts of you in one self, what does that leave for the rest of yourselves? Mm-hmm. What does that leave for the rest of yourselves? Well, it kind of sets you up for failure in all other phases of your life and all your other selves. So then what am I left with? What am I faced with? Am I a failure of a mom? Am I a failure of a wife? Am I a failure of a daughter? Am I the worst of myself in these other arenas and areas? And I'm sharing this because I went through this. I'm not just making a cute story. I went through this, I experienced this, I felt this, and suffered with it. And that's when I started to realize, oh, wow, on the other side of an awareness that you are bringing the worst part of yourself potentially into another self, another self is your worst. That was the beginning of my journey to greater self-awareness, was to start to look at that self, give my best part a break. Like, best part, you're doing great. I don't actually need to watch you that hard. You're doing great. I don't even need to keep tabs on you. Let me let go, let you go on autopilot. Let me pay a little bit more attention to my neglected selves, my poor little selves that are the worst parts of me. Let me get to know them, understand them, recognize, admit that I'm doing a bad job here, and start to own them. And man, did I learn a lot. And that's when really my self-awareness started to broaden, because I discovered that a lot of the wounding that was coming from, say, the daughter aspect of myself was affecting how good I thought I was doing in the hospital. I wasn't doing as good as maybe I thought. And that hurt. That hurt a lot. But it was part of the journey, and I honor it. And I'm so grateful for it.
Mm. Dan, do you want to respond? I have lots I want to share.
Just that it's really interesting. We're talking about selves awareness, you know, this keeps coming up, but I'm ready for you, Jan. I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, Ruby, first, I think in what you shared, welcome to the family. I don't know any healthcare professional. And in fact, I think I don't know anybody who doesn't share your experience. So you're by far not alone. You're in very, very good company. And that's exactly what I'll tell you a little counter story. There's,
please.
I was in a workshop with Arjuna Arda, my coach. And he was teaching a workshop on deeper love. And no, that's not true, actually. That was the next one. Then he was teaching a workshop on radical brilliance. And so part of and at the beginning of this workshop, he said, so why are you coming into this course, right? And so we shared things. And one of the things I shared was, I really am really struggling that on the one hand, I have a really clear awareness of stillness and spaciousness and oneness and connectedness and whatever word you want to use. This is very, very clear to me. And on the other hand, I'm living in an emergency mode as a healthcare professional where everything seems to be an emergency and everything is happening under pressure. And it's not good enough, and perfectionism is required. And I'm living in this polarity. And so at that moment, he actually said, whoa, this is just radical brilliance happening right now. As you're speaking, and as I'm listening to you, I'm actually having an insight, like I'm something's become clear. And he came up with what is now the radical brilliance cycle, where he's saying, like, actually, it goes from stillness to creativity to effectiveness to letting go and reorganization, and then coming back to stillness. So, that was really interesting. So he actually kind of saw this as a cycle, and ever since, this picture is with me. Mm-hmm. This was such a strong moment. So this sense of duality, this like, oh, I have to be at work and I have to perform and I have to be the best doctor on this planet because, hey, I'm having a real life in front of me and this life deserves nothing else than the best possible doctor on this planet, right? And that's what I want to live up to. And at the same time, my kids are at home and maybe my nanny is looking at them or they're in daycare and where is mommy, right? And so on. So we know this very, very well. So it feels like polarities. It feels like either or, kind of, if I'm performing here, I'm losing there. So my question is, how could this be integrated where this doesn't appear like a choice we have to make, or it doesn't appear like we're being pulled in two directions, but where both are part of one and the same experience?
Yeah, thank you, Jan, for sharing that. And just want to say really quickly, because I know Dan wants to say more things, is that's why, from our definitions, I just wanted to go to that very vulnerable place and share that feeling, because it's the how that I'd really like for us to continue to share with people. It's the how that's difficult, right? It's and it takes looking at our shadow aspects, our worst parts of ourselves. That for me was the process. But I think it's important for us to continue to share with people the how and be willing to maybe share some of those stories that have been seminal or continue to be stuff that we're still working on. Absolutely, I think self-awareness is let's make it accessible to people. That's what I care about.
So what is this self then that integrates the self that identifies as the doctor, the role of a doctor, or the responsible one, or the maybe super responsible, or the perfectionist, or the, like, what all the different parts of ourselves that are at the starting line when we go to work, and integrates also the other parts, maybe the curious one, the student one that never wants to stop learning about medicine and healing, and maybe the one that doesn't know, and maybe the one that questions, and maybe the one that is weak and insecure and actually learns and self-improves through an approach of humility and learning. And maybe the mom and the friend and the lover and the, all the other roles, like, where do they actually come in? And what is that self that integrates what looks like different conflicting parts? Isn't that the self that at the end can show up, can learn to show up as a sovereign personal entity in a system?
Bringing that back, and I'm really excited. I'm going to kind of tee up because I'm really listening to Stephanie and kind of how you bring this back. But the beginning is, you know, humility and deliberateness and coming through this self-awareness to bring that self that we're talking about. But what we're really doing is we're no longer hiding from our professional designation. We've gone through an entire period of doing that and with ownership and agency over these other aspects of our life to be even more powerful, to show up in a way where all of these selves, all of our awareness can be there, and then we are actually arrive right at the beginning. And so, Jan, when you're talking about the cycles, and you're talking about that's exactly what you're doing. It's going through all of this to honor these selves without judgment anymore. These are no longer the best selves, and these are no longer the worst selves. These are just self. And all of us, in the same way that nature has all of these things, when you're looking at that, you're not saying, oh, well, fire is bad, and the regrowth of the forest that happened after the fire is good. It is cycle. It is cycles, and it is life itself. And so when we bring and show up with that self, that greater self, and we stand in front of another, then when I was saying, hey, this is how I learned my self-awareness by balancing off, and now in service to, I get to bring that back. And so everything that I've learned is a regenerative cycle where I bring that back and I can show up, and then someone can bounce off me and hear that and see that and get the self-awareness and the efficiency model that Stephanie was talking about. When she shows up in a certain way and someone else is showing up in that way and they're just resonating and connecting on this level, they're getting so much done because of the authenticity, because of the vulnerability. And it's amazing what can be accomplished. So I think one of the things that's really an interesting process is as we're diving into this, because I think as wild as it is, when I've ever got anything done in sort of healthcare change or transformation, it's speaking to some sort of bottom line, which is so fun because what we're doing here is really pushing the understanding, but then it integrates back in and it's like, look, if we're getting better outcomes and we're becoming more efficient and we're actually connecting deeper with patients and patient satisfaction, there's kind of this, you know, quadruple aim that starts to happen where we start to show up and healthcare is improving. And so now we're like, oh, we're bringing the accessibility to all these different parts of ourselves and showing up there as human beings. And there's no, you know, there's no questioning why it's a human being, because at that point, we're not doing anything. We're just being in that way. And it doesn't minimize our stringent education and our residencies, internships, and fellowships, and all of the training. But that is a part of, in the same way that these experiences that you guys are vulnerably sharing about what's really going on about in that medical life, of the polarity and the juxtaposition and how to hold it all and how to show up in that way, that makes us more powerful. That makes us stronger. And that allows us to arrive at the beginning so that I'm right in front of Stephanie and I'm there. And now she is actually sharing what really is going on, what really is there, without her censoring at some level because she's worried that this person's not going to be able to understand her or take her seriously at that level. So I'm going to just leave it there in support of, and I'm so curious, Stephanie, how this resonates with you. Thank you so much for kicking us off.
I'm very excited right now. Can you tell? Being grounded in excitement reminds me I'm on the right path. So one thing I'd like to say, one of the greatest lessons that I received from being a yoga teacher was to be the witness of what was going on within the room and within every individual on their yoga mat. The reason why I bring this up is because as you get to witness, you get to see often by proxy, potentially of human nature, is that we like to exploit where we're flexible and we like to avoid where we're not. And one of the greatest discussions that we used to have was, how we do one thing is often how we do anything, and we have to broaden our perception of what we're not seeing. So we would have classes revolved around working on the things that we did not feel good at as a form of being vulnerable, showing where we need work, supporting each other in that process of being vulnerable. And the energy of a class, when we all were doing what we needed to work on rather than what we were good at, was a completely different energy. So what I'd like to mention, what all of you were saying and what was making me feel so delighted was this duality. How do we hold these different aspects of selves and manage and be honest and work and juggle these things as best as we can? The duality aspect of things. from my journey up to this point, I have never learned unless it came by contrast, usually. So I think it's very important to help to encourage people that when we feel uncomfortable or when something is arising within us that we know we need to look at, to look at this as this is my opportunity, actually. So learning by something we don't want or we're afraid to share is where that lesson truly lies. So this process, this circle, as you were talking about, this journey that we go through to become self-aware is a journey. And it's often that we like to skip ahead. And as we said in the beginning, claim these outcomes or these words, like, for instance, I'm woke. Anybody who's truly on the awakening path and has achieved a level of true, authentic agency and awakening would never say, I'm woke. They would never say that. They would say, I am continuously in a process of awakening, because the humility and the space of non-judgment of the self and the ability to be vulnerable where one is at, there's no shame in being that honest self. And in fact, anything against that vulnerability, you know, is false. It's the ego. So you almost can't do it, or you can call yourself out on it very quickly. So far as how do we do this with others, with our self states, when we're haven't accepted this process of we're learning, we're becoming as individuals, it can be very hard to decipher or discern between self states and non-self states. And in fact, within ourselves and also with others. So when you're in this process of not really being committed to look at the self, honestly, when you're with others, your unaware self states intermingle with other people's unaware self states. And then we don't know who is who. And we can start to carry emotions and feelings that we think are ours. And how many of us have had that experience where we start on this journey and we say, you know what? This thing that I've been carrying, this is not mine. And I think that's one thing that we really need to be aware of in terms of treatment and medicine and feelings and illness is this yours? Is to kind of demystify this understanding that when we have unaware self states, how do we know that we're not carrying our wounded mother's energy or our wounded partner's energy or our own other self state wounded energy? So this process, this circle that you're talking about, requires to look at the parts of us that we're out of balance with as a means to becoming more holistic. And to me, if we were to come around a little bit more, self-awareness, sovereignty, personal agency is when the individual returns to one person. They return to this state of, I'm able to broaden my perception. I'm able to pull up and have an overall heuristic big picture that I can hold all of my self states and have pulled them up into that higher state where this is now my higher self. This is the governing agency to me. Sovereign state is when you can decipher your higher self from your lower. Your higher self is one. Your lower self is selves. And I think when we go on this journey, what happens is we become, honestly, I did. And again, to have that openness and vulnerability is we can become what feels like bipolar, multi-phrenic, because we're starting to have this view of the higher self and to see how these lower selves are acting. And it can be a little bit overwhelming. And again, traditionally, maybe be looked at as something else. But this actually is part of the process of becoming aware to be able to return back to that one self. And you're going to go back and forth. You're going to have moments where it feels very blissful and connected in the higher self. And then the next day you're like, I'm all down in my lower chakras and I'm on into all of these self states again, where I have to keep refining. And this is the awakening. This is the ability to address those self-limiting lower self states, clean them up, so we have more room to create spiritual density instead of an ego trying to defend this persona that we're trying to attain.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah. So this self that you're talking about is not an identified self, but it's sort of a witness self, as it is sometimes referred to, or a consciousness that doesn't have a name and a password and a sex and an identity. And, you know, so.
Yeah. Do you see how difficult that is too? Because you have to clear yourself enough to disidentify with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hardest part, is you have to keep pulling up and out of the personality to fully be in your personality without an expected result or attachment.
Yeah. So this self-awareness is not something I've learned in medical school, to be honest. It's not something that I've learned in school even. It's not something, you know, this is something that some of us come across when venturing out in other realms, but it's not something that's part of that. It's also not part, therefore, it's not part of the healing process of, you know, in most clinics, let's say. Some clinics it is in different forms, but in most clinics, it's actually not part of it. So what does it take for us? What does it take for us to learn about this higher sense of self, this witness? What does it take for us to bring this into healthcare on both sides? What might be needed?
May I say one thing quickly about this?
Sure.
Is how we've approached medicine, I think we can all agree to some degree, is more so from the left brain intellectual perspective. And we gain self-awareness when we experience. These states come from being in experience, really feeling, intuiting, navigating, and to actually get out of the mind and get into the body, to embody this awareness requires a balance of the right and left hemisphere of the brain. So again, you can't develop self-awareness by taking it in as a college course. It's just not, you're only going to get to a certain degree. So I would just like to encourage everybody to understand the immense importance of the intellect in medicine. It's genius. I'm in love with it. It's great. But we can only really get to this next step in our paradigm if we incorporate and permit the aspects of the right brain to come in, which is fully self-developing, self-educating, and going through your own educational process within and committing to that forever to be coupled alongside with the left brain.
That resonates deeply. I just think about my own journey and realize that, you know, I was in San Francisco for a dozen years and, you know, speaking and going to transformational technology and consciousness hacking and talking about these embodied states, about how spirituality can shift our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. We're always talking about it. But it was this intuitive inner knowing of moving our family to Kauai, where we began the embodied process of everything that I had been doing. Now just can hold, there's some place that can hold all of that, where I can live that embodied state and do the work that I was doing, as opposed to like, oh, this is great, but now I went to a dinner and a conference and a talk and then met friends, and now you're exhausted and you show up in the morning and you're in this incredible cycle of talking about it. It's like a bunch of air discussion, but it's really mind and not connecting to our heart and not connecting to that self-awareness, which is that duality of the right and left. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful to see that. It's also sort of like with kids now, watching their education, we're really bringing that. You know, a lot of what they're working on is, it's like they're working on art projects, it looks like, but it's actually history through art. You know, it's a Waldorf education, but it's bringing those hemispheric, watching that happen, bringing nature into the educational system. And that's where we can arrive. This is the training towards the higher self. And I think what really landed is that experience. Ultimately, that is absolutely true. Like, you can learn it, but when you've embodied it and you've experienced it, and then you're sharing it, that is the self-awareness that starts to resonate with another. And that is where the spark happens. And that is where what's so exciting about this work is your own self-awareness. You don't really have to teach anybody that. You could just start to live it and embody it. And then it becomes like a wildfire, where if others are embodying that as well, and it starts to share and to move through. And that's what's really exciting about this conversation, because it doesn't feel like it has to take a long time. It's almost like, I don't know if you watch popcorn about to pop. It's like we can start to vibrate at this frequency of starting to understand self-awareness. And then all of a sudden, everyone can become self-aware in that way because of the humility that you can bring to it. Not because it's like, oh, I'm self-aware and I can share that with someone else. It's just everyone in our own lanes doing that work.
The right and left hemisphere of the brain sometimes is also discussed as the male and female principles of energy. And something that Ruby and I were talking about just the other day was this realization that came through of the right hemisphere of the brain, the feminine aspect, is the experience. It's the constant ability to experience and feel it and never shut off from those feelings. And the embodied masculine is the conscious awareness thereof. And what do I do with it? How do I practically apply it in the world? So it's these two energies of she's constantly in a state of experience and feeling, and he's watching her. He's watching her, and he's distilling the purity of what she's feeling to put that out into the world. And to me, it just gives me a whole new appreciation for men and women in general. And just these energies. And to me, again, in the medical field, one thing that Ruby and I discuss a lot is this honor and appreciation for the subjective experience. It's the right hemisphere of the brain. And it's what we should be really consciously letting to flow in as much as possible, so we really know the right ways to do the best that we can with healing and healthcare.
Wow, thank you. Whenever we dive deep, time flies. We have reached the end of our 45 minutes today. And I think we've traveled far from resonance towards sovereignty. By exploring self-awareness. So what is that sense of self that we are aware of, the senses of ourselves, the different roles and responsibilities and identifications that we are aware of in a continuous flow, ever changing in the different situations that we find ourselves in, and that there is a kind of witness that is available, that is aware of all the entities, but doesn't really take a role or doesn't have a vested interest in any outcome, but is cognizant, aware, conscious of all the other parts, and not only the own parts, but also the other one and how we're connected. So the being in phase with another being can be kind of role to role. We can synchronize, we can be in line, aligned from the patient role to the doctor role, and we can agree on a certain, you know, rules of the dance. And yet we can kind of embrace our other parts at both ends. And that creates a much kind of a, we're moving from a duet to an orchestra where there's kind of really a whole set, a team on either side. And there is a shared awareness of those both these teams. And if there's resonance at that level, that is really a different kind of therapeutic alliance that then holds a completely different potential and allows allows our purpose to be lived. It seems daunting, and it seems like, oh wow, I'm already struggling with my little doctor role and getting my shit together.
Can I say something about that just real quick?
Sure.
Sorry, I know we're French. Having two dropperfuls of self-awareness, it's completely shifted not only my life, but how I interact with patients. And I don't see how that could change. So I don't think we're necessarily asking for much. Just again, trying to be vulnerable and honest that I'm cognizant of where I'm at in my journey, but a little bit goes so far. And it's because it's not about spending a lot of time. It's about the constant time. I used to tell my husband, it's like nanoseconds of realization and awareness put together over months. But those nanoseconds built up to about 2 seconds and completely changed my life. So
in a synthesis of that, if you think about the heart, we continue to come back to, you know, heart-based medicine, it's a pacemaker. You think about the sinoatrial node to the AV node, you think about all of these heart, these cells, and yet there's one conductor. And I think that is the higher self. If we can bring all of that sound into the conduction and there's a pacemaker that brings that into that fluid flow, then we're all working together. Then all is one and that's all vibration. And we see that through biomimicry. We see that through nature. We see that through our own heart. And so that's a place that we can strive for. And that's just the drops that all of a sudden it all seems so disparate, but it can come together so harmoniously into one orchestrated movement. Mm.
Wow. Like they say, you're not a drop in the ocean, you are the ocean. Mm-hmm. But the drops are, we need to see the drops and connect with the drops before we realize that we're the ocean.
Wow. I think we're in a good place to continue with exploring sovereignty. So how do we bring that into personal sovereignty within the system that we are living in right now? So let's come back to that in our next conversation. Thank you so much for joining today and for sharing today and for channeling today. So talk to you very soon. Thanks a lot and have a great week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this Heart of Healthcare podcast brought to you by Heart-Based Medicine. If you enjoyed the conversation, you'll find some free resources and more information at heartbasedmedicine.org. Please share this episode if you feel inclined and subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform. Until next time, thanks and take care.